Welcome back. It's Midday. I'm Tom Hall. The Everyman Theater here in Baltimore has an initiative called the Salon Series, which is devoted to exploring the work of women playwrights in staged readings that are directed by the women members of the Everyman Resident Acting Company. On Monday night, the series will feature the work of the playwright Colleen Sinnott Jennings from Washington, D.C. Two of her plays, Queen's Girl in the World and Queen's Girl in Africa, will close out the Everyman season later this spring. The Everyman has commissioned a third play to round out the trilogy called Queen's Girl to the Green Mountains. That play will be performed at Everyman next season. It's one of the works in progress that will be part of the staged reading at Everyman on Monday night. Colleen Sinnott Jennings joins me now on the line from Washington. Welcome.
Thank you so much.
So you're doing something really brave on Monday night. You're allowing actors to read works that you haven't finished. This is a spotlight on some works in progress. What's that experience like?
Well, it's even more brave and foolish than that. I'm actually going to read an excerpt myself.
Doubly foolish and brave.
Doubly foolish.
And will you be reading from the two works that are going to be performed later this season in May?
No, thankfully, I have the two wonderful actors who will be reading the parts they'll be playing, and they are absolutely superb. I'm going to be reading for the work in progress, the piece that I'm working on that will close out the trilogy. So it's very raw, very new.
So it's Dawn Ursula and Erica Rose will be reading the two that they're going to be performing in May. When is a work no longer in progress? I mean, Queen's Girl in the World, Queen's Girl in Africa, these are plays that, you know, you've completed. I guess you've even performed them yourself, right?
Yes, yes. At some point I've either performed in them or directed in them. But it's so funny that you ask that, because I'll go back and read plays of mine that have been published, and to me, they're still in progress.
I mean, do you tweak them for future performances? Is that common?
Yes. Yes, it's very common, because each theater is different, each audience is different, each director is different. So it's really wonderful when you get a chance to dive back in, and the artists around you help you think of things in new ways, see a new vision of your work. So it's quite common.
And how important is it to you to get feedback from audience members? I mean, obviously, when you're working on a play, you're going to get feedback from the actors and the director and the producer. But at a reading like the Salon Series on Monday at the Everyman, there are going to be people in the audience. Will you get their feedback? And how do you incorporate that feedback? How does that feedback inform what you're going to be doing working on this new piece?
Well, you know, it's really, first of all, it's really very exciting. I think any time a playwright gets to hear how words land on an audience, what pieces resonate, what pieces are puzzling. It's always a gift, because it gives you a chance to go back in and rethink. You know, up until that moment, these are just characters running around in your head saying things you think make sense. But when you get an audience's perspective, you really, you know, it's suddenly your characters become three-dimensional, and you get a chance to really see them live in the world. So it's absolutely vital. You know, the words of the audience can be extremely inspirational and give you a lot of courage. The words from the audience can sometimes be, oh my gosh, let me pull that knife out of my heart. I think a playwright, and I teach playwriting and I encourage my playwriting students to be able to listen, be open-minded, be humble, take what you can use, thank people for what you can use, and also thank them for even what you can't use. So that's how I try to go into it.
And you're also a founding member of a collective of playwrights in D.C. called the Welders. So do you read for each other? At that point, you're getting a response to your work that comes from people who are, you know, at least putatively erudite when it comes to plays and playwriting and how plays strike audiences.
Yes, and that's what's wonderful and terrifying, because
yeah.
The wonderful part is that when you're part of a collective, everybody invests in the other's success. So I knew these people wanted my play to be the very best it could be. So on the one hand, that gives you tremendous comfort. On the other hand, you know, they're gonna put it to you. It's like, you know, having a really good teacher who makes you bring your A game. So You always have to be somewhat humble and remember that you're learning. And again, take the stuff that you can really use. Get your ego out of the way.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about the Queen's Girl series. As I understand it, it's a bit autobiographical. Again, the first chapter is called Queen's Girl in the World. Dawn Ursula is going to do these are all one-woman shows. The second is called Queen's Girl in Africa. Erica Rose will perform that later this season. Tell us about how the series is put together.
Well, it's so ironic because many years ago, back in 2005, a friend of mine and mentor was encouraging me to write my autobiography. I said, you know, first of all, nobody's going to care. Second of all, I don't write narrative, I write plays. But he was insistent on it. And it just so happened in that year I got a grant retreat. And they asked me, you know, what would you like to work on? And I said, I'm going to prove to my friend that I can't write this. And with this play. So I started writing it, and again, it was, I performed it first. I was just so surprised that people registered with things that had happened in my life and so forth. I say semi-autobiographical because most of what happens to the heroine is what happened to me. I've conflated characters, I've moved things around and so forth, taken some artistic license, but it's basically my story. So I said, oh, my gosh, it was a real learning experience, very emotional. I said, good, so been there, done that. And people kept saying, well, what comes next? You know, you can't just leave us hanging. So a friend of mine talked me into
part two.
Writing
yeah.
part two. And then, you know, somebody that you know quite well, Vinny Lancisi at Everyman, said, well, you know, what about part three?
Yeah. So there is a through line. The character is the same in all three parts, right? This is
correct.
This is the continuing story of this person. When you get a commission like this from a theater like Everyman, do you know now who the actor will be who will perform it in the whenever it gets performed next year?
I don't even know if it's going to be a one-person show or a multiple characters.
Oh, okay. So it could be different than the other two. The other two just happen to be one-person shows. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And I was thinking that this would be a one-person show, but then Vinny and my wonderful director, Paige, have sort of challenged me on that. So I'm really, when I say I'm in the process of writing, I'm really in the process of rethinking and reexamining. The excerpt I'm going to perform on Monday, I'll be doing all the roles myself, but I'm not sure that's how it's going to stay.
Colleen Sinnott Jennings is a playwright on the faculty of American University. She's also a founding member of a collective called The Welders. So again, on Monday night at the Everyman Theater here in Baltimore, actors will perform staged readings of excerpts from some of the plays that Colleen Jennings is currently working on, including the third part of her Queen's Girl trilogy. So chapter one in the series, Queen's Girl in the World, opens at the Everyman on May 7th. Chapter two, Queen's Girl in Africa, opens a week later. Those two plays will then run in repertory until the end of June. So come to WIPR.org/midday for more details. Colleen Jennings, it's been a pleasure talking to you. Thanks so much and have fun on Monday.
Thanks so much for having me. You take care.
That's it for us today. Coming up Monday, another installment in our series, Midday on Higher Education. Dr. Jay Perman of the University of Maryland, Baltimore, will be my guest. He joins me Monday on Midday. And by the way, looking ahead to Tuesday, Michael Harrison, the new commissioner of the Baltimore City Police Department, will join me for the hour, and I hope you'll be able to join us as well. We want to thank Bottoms Up Bagels for lunch today. Bottoms Up Bagels is a small-batch pop-up bagel shop preparing hand-rolled New Jersey-style bagels, house-cured lox, and specialty cream cheeses. They're inspired by traditions of bagel making dating way back to the 1940s. Bottoms Up Bagels offers customized catering packages of all kinds. You can find them at the Waverly Farmers Market these days on Saturdays and as well online at bottomsupbagels.com. Midday is directed and engineered by our beautiful director and engineer, Luke Spicknell. Our show is produced by Rob Sivek, Sienna Greaves, and Kathleen Cahill. Midday's theme music was composed by Austin Coughlin at Clean Cuts. Jamila Krimple is our digital guru. Our interns are Morgan Ome and Abba Amoa. Reveal is up next at the top of the hour. It's coming up after the news. Thanks to everybody who subscribes to our podcast, who sends us tweets. If you want to follow us on Twitter, it's at Midday WIPR. To follow me on Twitter, it's at Tom Hall. WIPR. We appreciate your interest. We appreciate your listening. We appreciate your tuning in when we stream our conversations on Facebook. Very, very grateful to everybody for being part of the Midday family. Happy St. Patrick's Day. I'm Tom Hall. Have a great weekend.